Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, lots is going on tonight, and Pastor David asked if I would teach a message on worship. And so I got with the Holy Spirit, and this message is entitled Wired for Worship. Wired for Worship. In other words, there's something on the inside of us that responds to worship. And so this morning I want to give you a definition of worship. We're going to look back in the Old Testament quickly. And then I'm going to give you four things this morning that praise and worship will manifest in our lives or will do for our lives. Now, Pastor David and Pastor Jim have been so kind to you about inviting you to come tonight. But this church is 22 years old. I'm going to be 60 this year in just a few months. I have 10 grandkids, 11 because Luke and Stacy are pregnant, so 11 grandkids coming. Woo! They told me not to tell anybody, but forget it. You tell me a secret about something like that, I'm going to tell the world. It's going on radio. So I'm the mama in this house and the nana in this house, and so I'm not afraid of you, so I'm just going to tell you I'm not asking you to come. I'm going to say, please, no, get your sweet little butts in here tonight. Get them on these green chairs. Pack this house because we are going to raise the roof and we are going to shout out loud with the voice of triumph that Jesus Christ is Lord of hosts and Lord of all and make his name famous in this place. This is a special day. Planting a church in Riverside and our first live album. So, all right, I'll be nice. Please come, but you need to come because God has something for you tonight here, and I'm going to show you why. So that's this teaching. So, wired for worship. What is worship? Why do we worship? And what does worship do? Let's go into what is worship. First of all, what is worship? Now, most of us think when we hear about worship, we think of singing. We think of songs. We think of melodies and symphonies and harmonies, and certainly music is the language of a generation, but that is not how the Bible defines worship at this point, because there's a law in homiletics. Homiletics is the study of the Word of God, and the law of homiletics goes, and it's called the law of first use. In other words, God is teaching us about the kingdom of God in the Word of God. We've never seen God, so God shows us who he is through his Word. And creation defines him and speaks of him. And in the Word of God, the first time that you see a principle, a word, something that God is introducing to us, the first time you hear it and see it in the Word of God, unless otherwise described by the mouth of two or three witnesses somewhere else, that is the meaning of that word. Are you with me? It's called the law of first use. So we see worship. And we see that God brought forth worship all the way back in the book of Genesis. Now, my definition for you today of worship is the act of sacrificial obedience to God's word. The act of sacrificial obedience. Sacrificial obedience to God's word. Because we're going to see that that's the first way that we see it in the Word of God. Let's go back to Genesis quickly. We know that Adam and Eve sinned. We know that God, the first act that he did to them is he killed an animal. The blood atoned for their sin. That means that they had separated themselves now from God. And God kills an animal, and he clothes them with animal skins. So we see a sacrifice. And then we see in chapter 4 of Genesis that God carries it further with instruction. He tells Cain and he tells Abel to bring a blood sacrifice unto him. Now we know that he spoke this to Cain and Abel because it says in Hebrews the 11th chapter, in the hall of faith, that by faith Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, we also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, Abel would not have had faith to bring the correct sacrifice if God had not spoken it to him. Are you with me? So we know that God told them what to do, and Abel brings the lamb, and God accepts it, and Cain brings a sacrifice, an offering from the ground, because he was a farmer, and the ground was cursed, and God didn't tell Cain to bring it that way. Therefore, Abel's offering was accepted, the sacrifice was accepted, Cain's offering is rejected. Cain rises up, kills Abel, and thereby Cain now begins the split of humanity, and the seed of Cain goes off to worship the way they want to worship, And he leaves the presence of God, and God raises up another son from Adam and Eve named Seth, and God begins the line of redemption of, through humanity, through the line of Seth, and these are the ones that are going to worship God. So humanity splits. Are you with me? So now let's fast track to chapter 22, worship, the act of bringing, the act of sacrificial obedience. The first time you see the word worship in the Word of God is in the chapter found in Genesis 22 with Abraham, who is the father of faith. Now, Abraham has had Isaac, and we know that Isaac is the miracle child. We know that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old when they produced Isaac, because Abraham and Sarah could not have Isaac. They couldn't produce him until they couldn't produce him. It had to be a miracle. And so God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 22. And in the first 5 verses, God gives him instruction and says, you are to take Isaac, your son, your only son, and you are to go to a place where I will show you. And you are to offer him there as a burnt offering unto me. Now, a burnt offering is completely consumed, and God said, I want you, Abraham, to take the promise that I've given you, because I've told you that in Isaac, the promise will be fulfilled, that you will be a blessing to all the earth, that kings will come out of you, and that in Isaac your seed will be called. Isaac, I want you to take the promise, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering on a place where I will show you. It happened to be Mount Moriah. So Abraham quickly tells no one, and he takes a team of people. He takes a donkey. He takes Isaac. We know Isaac is not a child. We know he's a young lad because he has the strength to carry the wood on his back for the burnt offering. And we know that Abraham takes then Isaac and servants with him, and he goes off, and God shows him the place, and it's called Mount Moriah. Now, by the way, Mount Moriah is called the Temple Mount, or where the temple that Solomon built is on Mount Moriah. So we know it was Jerusalem. It wasn't existing yet. Listen, kids, everything means something in the Word of God. Everything in creation speaks of God. Everything. Everything. So Isaac and Abraham begin to ascend to Mount Moriah. And this is what Abraham says in chapter 22, verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So what is God saying? We know that Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah. And we know that Isaac looked at his father and said, Father, I see the fire for the offering, for the burnt offering. And I am carrying the wood. But Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says to Isaac, the Lord will provide, son. And there on Mount Moriah, there where the temple was built, there where the Lord brought forth his son on Mount Moriah, Abraham lifts up that knife. He binds his son, and his son let him do this. And he's about to slay Isaac. And the word says that by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, he received him back from the dead. Because you see, Abraham knew that even if God had him kill Isaac, that God would raise Isaac and every molecule of Isaac back up, because the promise was from God and it was sure. And Abraham had to die to the promise and obey the promise giver. Worship, sacrificial obedience. Sometimes God will have and tell us something, give us a promise. But God says, I'm going to have to let you die to that promise. That promise is going to have to go up to Mount Moriah. That dream, that agenda, what you want is going to have to get on that altar. Because as Abraham lifted his knife, God said, stave your hand. Don't slay your son, your only son. For now I know. Now I know that I can trust you. And there he rehearsed covenant with Abraham and said, surely through your seed shall Messiah come, and shall all the earth be blessed. And redemption came through the lineage of Isaac, the Jewish nation, the 12 tribes. Out of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Judah. Out of the tribe of Judah came forth Messiah, all God, all man, the God-man that would redeem humanity, buy us back, give us back to God. It all stemmed and it all started on the earth with a man who was willing to worship, bring himself, his dream, to God. Now let's fast track into the New Testament, because we know that worship means then, if that's true, worship isn't singing. Singing's a part of worship. But worship itself is not singing. It's not four songs in a set. Worship begins in the heart with sacrificial obedience, and this is what God asks us to do. Now we are redeemed, we are bought back by the blood of Jesus, and now we are Christians, now we are a new generation, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and here is what God tells us to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, look at it with me. In the New Living Translation, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God." So now gives us instructions. God gives us instructions in the New Testament that he wants us to bring our lives, all of us, body, soul, and spirit, daily to God as living sacrifices. He's not asking us to physically die. He's asking us to die to our promises, our agendas, our dreams. And he's asking us to come alive to his plan and purpose. And he's asking us daily to offer ourselves up living sacrifices. That's worship. So that means, beloved, that every time you put your pants on and you go to church, you go to work, and maybe your boss is some kind of difficult person and they're not treating you right, but you do your best on the job and you walk in integrity and you do your job as if Jesus Christ was your boss, because he is your boss. You are worshiping God. You're bringing a sacrifice of obedience. Every time that you discipline your children, moms, every time you put that television down and you turn it off and you go and you spend time with the kids and you raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they're driving you crazy and you're exhausted, but you are not going to stop, and you are a godly mother, you are worshiping God. Every time you clean your house, you scrub a toilet, every time that you sacrifice, every time you turn the cheek and you don't get mad and you don't rail at somebody, but you submit to the love of God and you're long suffering, you're worshiping God. Every time, single people, when your body is lonely and craving a touch and craving love, human love, but you say, "No, I'm waiting for the one that God has for me," you are worshiping God. Worship. That's what worship is. Sacrificial obedience. So now, how do we worship? Well, God says, "I need you to worship in spirit and truth." And this is what he says in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 15. He says in verse 8 through 13, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." He says, these people, he was speaking to his own people, Israel. So how do we worship God? Well, you don't come into this house, and if you don't like the music, you don't sing. And you come into this house, and your mind is everywhere else and wandering all over the place, but you're doing your penance, and you're putting in your time. You see, that's hypocrisy, and God says, you're wasting your time, you might as well stay home. You don't come here for brownie points in heaven. Because worship is not about looking good. Worship is about the heart and bringing your life to God, like Abraham brought Isaac, the promise, his beloved only son, the son of his old age, to God, living sacrifices. Jesus told the woman at the well, there is a time coming when God, who is seeking a people to worship him in spirit and truth, that you will worship in spirit and in truth, in spirit. Now, we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is no longer Mount Moriah. It is no longer the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God is. It is now the body of Christ, the people of God. And I am, and you are, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and puts us on. And we come into this house, we worship God in spirit. The Spirit of the living God gives us the power to obey God. And the Spirit of the living God teaches us his truth so that we can walk out our destinies in the will of God. So what is worship? Sacrificial obedience. How do we worship? In spirit and in truth. Now, why do we worship? Well, let me tell you this. We don't worship God because he needs our worship. He is not some egocentric God in the heavens that is just pining away, waiting for somebody to notice him and believe in him. He is not in need of my worship or your worship. And I can prove it to you in Acts chapter 17, in verses 24 and 25. The word of the Lord says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. As though he needed anything. As though he needed anything. Since he gives life and breath to all things. God doesn't need our praise and worship. We need to bring praise and worship. Now I'm going to come to the place where music fits into this. If worship, if we see in the Old Testament, law of first use, that worship was described by God not as singing, but as an issue of the heart, that you bring your life, your promise to him, like Abraham brought Isaac. If we see, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, in the New Testament, that now God says, I don't want a burnt offering. I want a living sacrifice. I want you to bring your entire self to me every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So now God says, praise and worship music is a tool and a gift to help you be that person. We are wired for music. You ever thought about it? Humanity loves music. God has given us sound. And he's given us the gift and the ability to bring harmony and symphony and melody into the earth. When you hear music, music can do many, many things. And so music is a gift. And praise and worship isn't for God. Praise and worship, beloved, is for us. It's a gift. And it's a tool that God is giving us to be all that we are supposed to be. So I'm going to give you four things this morning, in the next few moments, that praise and worship will do. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, praise and worship takes us into his presence. That is why it is so silly for us to come in here and fight over the songs, whether we like them or not. This doesn't have one thing to do with that. This is about the heart. But music has the ability to take you somewhere. It can transform. You can hear a song, and all of a sudden, you're back in that memory. You're back in that moment. For instance, what do you think when you hear this?
Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away. On my way to where the air is sweet. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Okay. Now, those of you that grew up with Sesame Street are going to remember your childhood. Those of us that were raising children with Sesame Street are going to remember our young days as moms and dads, right? All right, I'm a baby boomer. If music has the power to take us somewhere, I'm going to prove it to you. What does this song do for some of you?
Don't you know that I heard through the grapevine? Not much former would you be mine? Oh, I heard through the grapevine. Oh, just about to lose.
Okay, baby boomers, we know, and if you're Gen X, then you remember the Raisin Box. Okay, Gen X and those that are younger, what about this one? All right, Michael Jackson, right? But it took you back to that time. It took you back to a memory. Music has power. Now, everything means something. So if it does that in the natural, then what has God planned in the spirit? So music, praise and worship, is designed by God as a gift to take us somewhere. And in Psalm chapter 22, verse 3, God tells us where it takes us. It takes us into his presence. Because it says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. But thou, O Lord, are holy, and you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. What is that word? That word enthroned means that when Israel When the Church of the Living God begins to lift up holy hands and pure hearts, hearts that are sincere, not fighting over whether we like the song set or not, that's infancy, but actually entering in and beginning to lift our voice in the music that God has given us. God says that He comes down, that He dwells, and His presence is found in the very praise of His people. So when you and I begin to lift up our voices and praise the Lord begins to descend. Now His presence is always with us, but we can't always feel Him. But when we begin to praise the Lord, the presence of God begins to come and descend. And there is a tangible manifestation of His presence in us and for us. So number one, music takes you somewhere, takes you into the presence of God. Number two, music, the praise and worship of God, not the world, teaches us His ways. Now what do I mean? Well, God has wired us for music, for worship. Now did you know that some very, very difficult things can be learned easily in a song? That some of the hardest things to learn are given to us in song, and we remember them. The melody, the symphony, the harmonies quicken in us and in our heart and in our mind something that triggers the lesson. For instance, every one of us learned the alphabet through a song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, sing it with me, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I've learned my ABCs. Next time will you sing with me? Kindergarten, preschool, every one of us learned the beginning of the English language through a song. Pastor Tom told me that the kids in Kids Rock know all the verse, all the books of the Bible through a song. And God understands that because He gave that to us. And when we begin to sing the Word of God, which is what the book of Psalms is, when we begin to sing the Word, all of a sudden, what we didn't understand and we didn't know begins to come into our spirit, begins to quicken in our mind, and it's housed in that secret place of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. And when we need it, it begins to come up. You may not remember a Bible verse, but you will remember a verse sung in song. And God says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, we're wired for this. God made us. He knows us. He knows that in praise and worship, what He desires to come forth will be a tool and a gift to us to make us what we're supposed to be. Number one, it takes us into His presence. Number two, it teaches us His ways. Number three, praise and worship triumphs in trouble. When we begin to enter into the music of heaven and the music of the earth, the songs that we have written to the Lord God Almighty, all of a sudden that has the ability to cause us to triumph in trouble. Now in Psalm chapter 25, David writes, oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Now there's story after story in the Old and New Testament of men and women that prayed and praised and God brought deliverance. Jehoshaphat was a great king of Judah, and Ammon and Moab were coming after them. And Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah stood before the Lord and prayed, and God brought a word and said, the battle is not yours, but the battle is mine. Believe and watch the salvation of your God. And as Jehoshaphat ordered his armies, he sent out the Levites, the ministers of music, and they stood in front of the army of Judah before a great host of enemies. And they sang loudly, and they sang, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And as they began to sing, God brought down confusion, and Moab and Ammon killed each other, so there was not one left standing. Judah did not have to raise a sword as they praised the Lord, and the power of God went forth in triumph over the enemy. So praise and worship will cause us to triumph in trouble. You know the story of Paul and Silas and how they prayed and they praised in that prison in Acts chapter 16. And as they praised the Lord at midnight, God brought forth an earthquake that shook down all the prison cells, even shook off the fetters and the chains that bound them. Listen, when you're in trouble, whether trouble finds you or whether you found trouble, and there's two different kinds of trouble, there are times when enemies amass against you. There are times when you didn't ask for it, but it's just coming at you. God says, if you will begin to praise and worship me, if you'll begin to sing a song to the Lord, as you begin to rehearse covenant with God in song, as it makes God big in you, it will cause your enemies to become very, very small. That's when trouble finds you. Now, what if you found trouble? You see, there's another part of this, triumph and trouble, because music touches every part of our heart. And there was a time when David found great trouble. He sinned, and he sinned against the Lord, and he killed Uriah the Hittite, and he took another man's wife, Bathsheba, in adultery. And it was a great sin, and Nathan the prophet was sent to David because David wasn't repenting. And God brought forth David's sins into the light, and he shouted it from the rooftops, and David's heart broke. And David wrote a psalm, Psalm 51, and he said, "But thou, O Lord, will not despise a broken and a contrite heart, for those are the sacrifices of praise that you accept." In other words, when trouble hasn't found you, but you've messed up and you found trouble, and you're afraid to come to the house of God, you know you've messed up, you know you've blown it, and Satan is just actually having a party over you, keeping you in despair and discouragement, and you hate yourself and you hate the sin, God says, if you'll come to me, you'll triumph in this trouble. Yeah, you caused it, but if you'll come with a repentant heart and a broken heart for the sin, as you begin to praise me, as you begin to lift up your voice and worship me again, I will cleanse you and I will heal you and I will make your mess your message. And the enemy will be defeated and you will triumph in the trouble. So, beloved, whether trouble finds you or you find trouble, when you begin to praise and worship God, the power of that praise and that worship, the power of music, the power of the song of the saint begins to rise up, cleanse you, strengthen you, and bring you into victory. Whether you are depressed, if you're depressed, don't turn on jazz. Don't turn on country music. Don't turn on the secular music. You know why? It will take you further down the pit. But if you will turn on the praise, if you'll put a CD in, if you'll begin to open your mouth, yeah, you feel guilty. Yeah, you're depressed. Yeah, you're sorrowful. Yeah, you're discouraged. Maybe a loved one has died. Man, you're mourning. But if you'll begin to open your mouth and begin to praise the Lord and worship God, the power of God, the presence of God will wash away all those emotions, and strength and courage will come up in you. I can prove it to you. This isn't on the board, but Psalms 94, 17 and 19 says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul." That's a song because the book of Psalms means songs. David wrote that as a song. No matter what you're going through, whether you found trouble or whether trouble found you, if you'll begin to sing the song of the Lord, he will comfort your heart and get you to the next level that you need to get to. So number one, we see that praise and worship takes us into his presence. We see that praise and worship teaches us his ways. We see that praise and worship causes us to triumph in trouble. Last one, we see that praise and worship, number four, will transform us. What you fellowship with and what you worship is what you will become. Watch this principle. Psalm 135, verse 15 through 18. "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths." Verse 18, "Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." What you worship is what you become. And in Psalm 115, verse 8, it coincides with this truth and this principle. that what you worship is what you become. You worship idols, you're going to become like that idol you're worshiping. You worship the God of heaven and earth, you're going to be transformed into his image. Now listen, here's the truth. What we desire is what we pursue. What we pursue is what we find. What we find is what we embrace. And what we embrace is what we become. Now God says, I want to transform you, but not into the image of the world. But watch this. Romans chapter 12, let's read verse 2. Remember, Romans chapter 12, 1 said, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God wants to transform us. Last verse, and I'm done. Verse 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It's not on the overhead, so just listen to the word. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Into the same image. From glory to glory. From goodness to goodness. By the power of the Holy Spirit. When you and I begin to praise and worship God, when we get into his presence because he lives in our praise, when we allow the praises of God to teach us his word and his ways, when we allow the praise and the worship to cause us to triumph in trouble, and there's all kinds of trouble that's going to come to you or you're going to find, but God's given us provision, then that beautiful praise and worship begins to transform us, and we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are being transformed from glory to glory, that we may be able to prove Romans chapter 12, verse 2, what is the good and the perfect will of God. God wants his will in the earth. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He doesn't live in temples of stone. He lives in living, breathing bodies that love him and that, like Abraham, understand worship. We take our lives and we offer them up every day as an obedient sacrifice. And as we stand in that place as temples of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to lift up our voices and praise him, not because we like the music or we don't like the music. How foolish to come to church and decide not to praise God because you don't like the song. It's not about the song. It's about the heart. Whether it's an old song or a new song, whether it's got your rhythm or somebody else's, has not one thing to do with this. That's baby stuff. But this is about us lifting our voices, us raising our hearts before God, no matter what the song is, where it came from. If it worships God, we enter in. He inhabits the praise. He teaches us his way. He causes us to triumph. And we are transformed into the very image of God so his will can be accomplished in the earth. So, beloved, tonight we're coming not so that we can be cool and hip, not so that we can look good, but so that we can be transformed, so that we can be the people of God on the earth to bring the kingdom of God to our generation. And God has given us the gift of praise and worship. He doesn't need it. We do. Did you get something out of today?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.